had some parents tell me last week that I had stopped preaching and started meddling in discussing about fathers do not provoke your children to anger. And so I promised I would be balanced. Actually, the Holy Spirit is very balanced in talking about children tonight. I invite you to open your Bibles back open to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Ran across this statement this week. The relationship that exists in the home between parent and child is critically important. The home is the basic unit of our society, and what goes on inside the four walls of our homes shapes the destiny of the nation. We'll always need strong homes, Christ-centered homes. So it makes instructions such as what we'll consider tonight extremely important. So as we look at the different relationships within the family and what God would say to each of us in our respective relationships, let's focus on children. What would God say to children? What are the responsibilities for children in making their families all that God wants them to be? And I realize as I look out over the audience tonight, some of us do not have living parents. Some of us do. But as long as we're alive, I know that you'll agree with this statement. We can always bring honor to our parents. What is God's word to children? Two basic requirements. Number one, children, obey your parents. First question that may come to mind is, okay, children, what is meant by children? Is that just the toddlers? Is that elementary? What is meant by the word children here? How old do you have to be before this verse no longer applies? Well, the truth is that the Greek word here is general, is used to refer to any age. After all, when do we stop being our parents' child? But basically, Paul means anyone who is still under parental guidance. Biblically speaking, as far as this verse is concerned, you stop being a child when you go out and establish your own independence. But as long as you live in the home, as long as your parents are responsible for your actions, as long as you're under their provision and leadership, this applies. Be obedient to your parent, your parents, in all things. The word obey here, very interesting word, comes from two words. One of them, akouo, from which we get our word acoustics, and it means to hear. The other word meaning under, to hear under. Putting it together, it means to get under the authority of our parents and listen to what they tell us. So there's two components there. First of all, it means that we must make an effort to listen to what our parents are telling us. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother." If we would be obedient to our parents, we must listen. And I think it's getting more difficult for our children to listen today because there's so many distractions. There's the media, there's cell phones, so many other computers, so many distractions that make it more and more difficult to listen. But if we would please God, if we would obey this instruction, we must listen to our parents. But then obey. Put ourselves under their authority. Submit to their rules. When they tell us to do something, we're to do it. When they tell us not to do something, we're to refrain from it, but be obedient. In Romans 1, verse 30, as Paul discusses the sinfulness of the Gentile world, and he begins to list a catalog of sins that characterize those who have left God out of their knowledge and have gone into the depths of sin. Among those things listed is disobedience to parents. I read one writer that made note that if disobedience to parents becomes a part of a society, then historians get out their pens and their papers and began to write about the decline of that society and the ultimate fall. And certainly that fits the scripture. The disobedience to parents characterizes a very sinful society. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." So disobedience to parents characterizes a very sinful society, one that's gone away from God. But as we look for positive models, one of the greatest examples of obedience to parental authority was Jesus himself. Imagine that. The sinless Son of God subjecting himself to the instructions of imperfect parents. But the Bible teaches that he was indeed obedient to Joseph and Mary. He went down with them, it says, Luke 2:51, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents and was always obedient to his heavenly Father. So what it comes down to is this. If you're a young person and you're a Christian, one thing that should set you apart from your friends, unless your friends are obedient to this command, one thing that should set you apart from your friends is that you have a willing spirit to obey your parents. That's God's desire for you. Obey your parents in all things. Notice some reasons why this is so important. Colossians 3, verse 20, as we read, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Why should you obey your mom and dad? Not because they're the right kind of parents. Not because the rules they lay down are right and make sense to you. Not even because you love your parents. Now, all those should tie in. As we look at this passage, the reason children are to obey their parents is because this pleases God. This is God's design. It is God's will for children. Ephesians 6:1, a companion passage. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This is right. And it's right not because Oprah says so or Dr. Phil. It's right because God says this is the right thing for children to do. I want to suggest another reason based upon biblical principles to obey your parents. Most of the time, your parents give you commands to keep you out of trouble or to keep you from getting hurt or to help you succeed in life. That's the reason why parents give these rules to be of benefit to you, believe it or not. They have our best interest at heart. After all, our parents, whether we like to admit it or not, at least have been around the block more than one time. And we don't have to comment about how many times. They've had more experiences. They likely have more wisdom than we. They've traveled the road of life. They know the dangers and many of the pitfalls. And all they're trying to do is to help us avoid perhaps some of the mistakes that they made in their own lives. But the rules are for a reason. They're trying to help us. I recently read the story of a boy's father. The boy played baseball. And the father kept telling his son, "Know what you're going to do with the ball before you get it." And he kept telling his son, who was first baseman, "Know what you're going to do with the ball before you get it." He was in middle school, and his middle school team was locked in a scoreless tie. It was the ninth inning. And the crowd went into a frenzy when the opposing team's speedy leadoff batter hit the ball and got a triple in the bottom of the ninth inning. And this first baseman, this boy, was very, very nervous, and he was pacing around first base. And he looked up into the stands and saw his father, and his father was making this sign. And the boy understood. Think about what you're going to do before you get the ball. And so the boy began to think about the possibilities. If a ground ball comes to me, what should I do? I could tag first and get the out, but then the runner would score and they would win the game. Or I could hold the runner at third and allow the runner to be safe at first, but we need this out. And so what he decided to do was, if the ball is hit toward me, I will sprint down the first baseline, tag the runner, and keep the runner at third from scoring. And it took exactly one pitch for the boy to realize that his father was very wise. The batter hit the ball down the first baseline. It was a slow roller. The first baseman picked it up and he tagged the runner just as he had planned. It was able to keep the runner on third from going home. And as he flipped the ball back to the pitcher, he glanced again at his father in the stands, and his huge grin told him that he knew his message had been received loud and clear. And I give you that example only to underscore the fact that your parents have experience. They have made their mistakes. They've had their successes. And they want nothing better for their children to have the very best in life. And that's why the rules are given. And we as children need to listen to our parents and obey. There's another reason, important reason for learning obedience at home. Obedience and respect to authority are the keys to all relationships throughout society. I know many children moan and groan about the rules at home, but if you haven't learned this already, or if you haven't thought about it, are there not rules at school? Are there not laws in our nation? Are there not expectations of our bosses? You can't get away from it. But you see, a person who grows up with a sense of obedience and respect for authority in the home will be better suited to make it in these other areas. It's important that we learn to obey authority at home so we'll be better suited for the rest of our lives. And the converse is also true. If you do not obey your parents, if you do not establish this pattern of obedience to authority, then likely you're going to be the one that has trouble in these other areas. The same people who do not learn respect and obedience at home will have trouble with their teachers, with the principal, with the law, with their bosses, with their families as they grow older. If there's a lack of respect in the home for the authority of parents, there'll be a lack of respect in the nation for the laws of the land. It's important that we learn young to obey our parents. The sad thing is that most of the time, such people who do not learn to obey their parents while they're young, and they come upon these problems at work and at school and in the nation with the laws of the land, those are the same ones that'll try to blame their problems on somebody else. They'll say it's the teacher's fault. It's the coach's fault. It's that policeman's fault. It's society's fault. And they don't realize that they're a big part of the problem that is causing the conflict. Notice with me in Proverbs 30, verses 11 and 12. Sometimes Proverbs are given and there's no connection between the two, but I'd like to think that there is a connection between verses 11 and 12. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. If those two are connected, and it seems like there is a very valid connection here, it would suggest to us that if we don't obey our parents, and even if we curse them, we're not going to recognize the source of our problems when we grow older. We're not going to recognize that we are the biggest part of the problem. You see, it's so fundamental, but yet so fundamentally important that children obey their parents. That's the first requirement. Second one is honor your parents. And yes, we honor our parents by obeying them, but the word honor would include so much more. Honor your father and your mother. Quoting from the Ten Commandments, it's a commandment that's always been true and will continue to be true. We're to honor our mother and father. It's the first commandment with promise. The promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The word honor here means to highly value. To highly value. The root word here has to do with weight. You place a lot of weight in someone in that you place a lot of importance upon them and upon their instruction, upon their value. That's what it means to honor. Do you realize how valuable your parents are to you? Where would you be without them? You wouldn't exist. But do you realize their value? And to honor your father and mother means to demonstrate how much you value them. That's the precept to honor. The promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I don't believe that this promise is intended to be absolute. We could probably all come up with an example of a person who honored his parents but yet died while he was young. But I do believe that God is stating a principle that generally holds true. So if you honor and obey your parents, here's twofold blessings that you can rightly anticipate. Number one, you can expect a good quality of life by honoring your parents. It refers to a full, rich life. And obedient children, as a general rule, are more prosperous and they're more happy. They do better in school and at work than their counterparts. They have better and more lasting relationships. But not only a good quality of life, a longer quantity of life. And it refers to long life. And the reason that we'll live a longer life if we honor and obey our parents becomes pretty obvious. When children honor and obey their parents and the Lord, they will escape a good deal of sin and danger and thus avoid the things that could shorten their lives. You see, honoring our parents can be good for our health in many ways. But if we disobey our parents, it indicates an undisciplined life, and it can lead to vice and sinfulness, such a life that is shortened by a destructive lifestyle. If you want to do a case study, study about Absalom, David's son. He was a boy that didn't follow his father, and his life was cut short. If we will honor and obey our parents, we can enjoy these promises. That leaves us with the plan. How do we do that? How can we honor our parents? Three ways. Number one, by our words. By our words. And that means that we speak words of love to them. We let them know verbally how much they are valued in our lives. And it means that we always speak respectfully to our parents, even when we disagree with them. It even applies to how we speak about our parents to other people. That we speak respectfully of them before others. It means by our words we express appreciation to our parents for what they do for us. It also means that we avoid words of ridicule or disrespect. We demonstrate honor by the words that we use. We demonstrate honor to our parents by our lives. We are to seek to bring honor to them by the way that we live. The book of Proverbs is filled with this principle. It talks about how an obedient, industrious son brings honor to his parents, while a disobedient, lazy son brings shame. Here's one of those proverbs. Proverbs 19:26, "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." But we can bring honor to our parents by striving to live a good life, by doing our best in school and all of our activities, being the best employee that we possibly can, living by God's commandments, living by the rules of home and school and society, by striving to be the best that we can be, we can bring honor to our parents by the way that we live. And finally, by our help, we honor our parents. In Matthew chapter 15, I hadn't thought of this in this sense before. The scribes and Pharisees are criticizing Jesus' disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they ate, according to the tradition of the elders. But Jesus points out their inconsistency. He says, "You point out how they didn't wash their hands before they ate according to the tradition of your fathers, but you're not keeping the command to honor your father and mother. How so?" Because when it came to caring for their parents and having to fork out some money, if you will, in order to accomplish that, some of them were saying, "This money is Corban. It's dedicated to God. So I can't help my parents with this money." And you see, Jesus is saying, by refusing to help your parents, you're dishonoring them. But by helping our parents, especially as they grow older, we are honoring them. And folks, you've got a lot of great examples in this auditorium. People who have cared for their parents when they've grown feeble and honored them in so doing. By the way, the hopes are that if we set a good example and take care of our parents, then hopefully our children will take care of us. But that's one way that we show honor. So may I ask all children, do you want to please God? Do you want to live a good life and possibly a long life? Do you want to do the right thing? Do you want to learn to be a faithful Christian and a productive citizen in society? Then heed this passage. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Because it should be all of our goal to live lives pleasing to God. We make it our aim, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, to be well-pleasing to Him. And yes, that includes how we treat one another within our families. That includes the way that we live our lives each day. Are you living a life that's pleasing to your Heavenly Father? Perhaps you need to submit your life to Him to become one of His children tonight. Perhaps there are changes we need to make. And perhaps some of those are of public nature and we need the prayers of the church on our behalf. If that be the case, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?